The reading for this morning is from John 13, and it's verses 1 to 17. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 1081, I think. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands, my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath need only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Been set a little puzzle here to unwrap, so just bear with me. So over the summer, we've been thinking about various different sporting metaphors. You can see that I'm a man who is trained to within an inch of my life, and therefore is very apt for me to be using sporting metaphors. The first sporting metaphor that we thought about was goal ball. For many of us, a new introduction, though Lynn actually went to watch it at the Paralympics and saw this taking place. Goal ball is a sport which you can't see the ball because you've got a special blindfold on that stops you seeing the ball, but you have to know where it is by listening for it, by actually grabbing hold of it, and by assuming where it might be by the sounds that you're hearing. And we use that as an illustration to think about how we might know the God that we can't see, but who we shall know through creation, through his word, and most wonderfully through the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes him physically present amongst us and demonstrates who God really is. We learned about how the Holy Spirit makes God personal in our experience. So we use that metaphor to help us think about God, who is God. And then the second one we thought about was dressage. Again, as you can tell, I'm someone that is constantly training horses to within an inch of their lives. No, I've never been on a horse. But what we used that metaphor for was to think about the training, because dressage means training, the training that the rider and the horse go through, so that the horse becomes able to respond to the prompts of its rider. And we thought about the freedom that it brings us when we make Jesus our Lord and respond to his leading and guiding, that actually our servanthood towards God, our slavery towards God, sets us free when we learn to respond to the promptings of the Spirit. Last week, Pete spoke to you about the shot put, and he said in the shot put you need to obey two simple rules. Get the angle right and throw it as hard as you can. I discovered a third one, you need to stick your tongue out. And he said, well, in the Bible, Jesus calls us to obey just one simple rule. Follow him. Follow him. And Pete encouraged you to know that you are chosen, called, and challenged to follow Jesus. This week, we're thinking about the four-person relay. Any runners amongst us? Anybody ever done relay? Yeah, one or two, yeah. Oh, cool, wow, I think we could have a great relay race. We've got three or four teams, I reckon, that's great. So, you might be sort of struggling to see the connection between the reading about Jesus washing the disciples' feet and what we're talking about, serving one another. You might think that it would better serve for running the race, a great Christian metaphor. Actually, we're doing that next week. But this week, we're thinking about how we serve one another, how we work together in a team. I'm going to use that illustration of passing it on, passing on the baton from one to another. Because in the Christian life, we learn that we need to work together as a team. We can't do it on our own. Now, I remember that for several years, in every international athletic competition, it seemed that the British relay team kept dropping the baton. Anybody else old enough to remember those days? George's. Oh, it's just me and George. That's a bit worrying. Okay. Well, I mean, I know probably other countries did it too. And when I look for video of it, there were times when the American team did it. But, you know, they may have been the fastest sprinters in the world. But if they couldn't do that simple task of passing a stick from one person to another, they were disqualified. They were out of the race. And I think for those of us that watched on, in awe of the fact that they could run so quick, it gave us a sense of superiority to think, well, I could pass a stick to somebody without dropping it. You know. So in our usual way, we piled onto the athletes and said how useless they all were. It's a lot easier sitting in the stand, isn't it? I do realise I might need to do some translation here for our American visitors. Here we call it a baton, okay? A baton. I understand in America it's, how do you say it?
A baton.
A baton. It's probably correct. You know, most often we do make a lot of fun of our Americans, of the fact that they really need to learn to speak English. But to be fair, mostly when it comes to French words, they get it right, and we speak franglais, don't we? So there you go. The baton. It doesn't sound right when I say it, so the baton. You pass the baton. Now, a coach described what should happen when you pass the baton from one person to another. He says this: both the giver and the receiver have an important role. The receiver needs to have an open hand to present a clear target, and the giver needs to use their eyes because they can see where to deliver the baton. That sounds like simple, straightforward advice that would have been great to give to the British athletics teams throughout the 80s and 90s. These days, I think they're a lot more professional and they get those sort of things right. Well, in our reading, we heard, that was dropping the baton. In our reading, we heard about Jesus setting an example of humble service and challenging his disciples to imitate it, to take up the baton from him. It's been great the way Lynn's led us through worship and Barry's prayers and reflections, because they've helped us to think about that Jesus didn't just, for that moment, you know, step down from being a teacher and a rabbi and wash their feet. He'd stepped down from heaven. And even in our reading, it spoke about the way that Jesus had come from God It was going back to God. And because he knew that, he chose that moment to wash their feet. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? So the depth of Jesus' humble service wasn't simply that he took on the role of a servant from being a teacher, but that he'd stepped down from being at the Father's right hand to be here and to serve the disciples. So often when Jesus says to the disciples, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" And they say, "Oh, yeah, we got it now. Yeah, we got it now." You think, no, you haven't begun to have got it yet. Jesus has done something quite astounding. Well, Jesus set this example and called them to imitate him. Thomas A. Kempis wrote a whole book about how we might do that called The Imitation of Christ. Jesus is, of course, unique. So there's so many ways in which we can never imitate Jesus. He is unique. But in one way, Jesus does call us to imitate him, and that is in humble service. In particular, we're called to pass on what we've learnt from him, just as he passed on what he learnt from the Father. The Apostle Paul takes up this baton from Jesus and speaks of passing things on that he's learnt from Jesus. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you." Do you see that baton passing that he has received from the Lord? He passes it on to the Corinthian church. The Lord, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and broke it. So there he passes on to us that memory, that institution of the Lord's Supper. What a wonderful thing that he's received from God and he passes on. Again, in 1 Corinthians, or for our American friends, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 5. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. So what I received, I pass on to you. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. We've got a little nutshell there of the Christian faith that Paul learns from God, passes on to us. What a treasure he passes on to us. Sound doctrine about who Jesus is, that what happened to him, what he's done for us, and the reality of his resurrection that was witnessed by human beings. So he passed on what he learned from Jesus, and then later he urges others to pass on what they've learned from him, to pick up the baton from him. So he writes to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, "Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice." So Paul's passed on, and then he expects others to pass on. And we benefit through the generations, for the thousands of generations that have gone between Paul, between Jesus and ourselves. We've benefited from those who've passed on the apostles' teaching so that we might know the truth about God. Another form of this passing on, this serving one another, is passing on what we receive from the Lord and sharing what we receive by the Holy Spirit. That might be passing on a picture or a word or a prophecy or a tongue, or it might be comforting somebody with the comfort we received, or loving somebody as Christ has loved us, or forgiving somebody as Christ has forgiven us. Mentoring is another way of passing on. Has anybody got a mentor? I've got one. Yeah, one or two. Anybody mentor somebody else? Yeah, one or two. Great. This is a way that we can make disciples. We call it in our modern language mentoring, but actually the Bible talks about discipling. That is teaching people to obey Jesus Christ, to obey his sound teaching. I wonder then, as a bit of a challenge for those of you that aren't mentoring somebody else, to think about how could you, perhaps not formally, but practically think about how you could mentor someone. How could you disciple them to help them to follow Jesus Christ, to pass on what the Lord has given to you. Within the church, we have a responsibility and a privilege to pass on what we receive from the Lord. We should always do that with gentleness and humility, recognizing that we can be wrong, but we must pass it on. Sometimes out of a sense of sort of false humility, we keep what the Spirit's shown to us to ourselves. And quite often somebody come to me at the end of the service and say, "Oh, I thought God was saying this to me, but I didn't want to say it." And you think, oh, what a shame. You know, that message, that word could have helped somebody here today, but it's been kept because of fear, because of false humility, perhaps. When we do this, when we hold back, we rob others of the gifts we should have shared. So remember that receiving and giving are both important parts of passing the baton. Both the giver and the receiver have an important role. The receiver needs to have an open hand. It's no good running away like this and expecting the guy behind to somehow get the baton into your hand. Equally, the giver needs to use their eyes to see where best to place the baton so that you don't have to grab around to try and get it. Peter needed to be washed by Jesus in order to learn how he might serve others. He needed to receive in order to pass that on. We, you, me, are invited to become part of God's team, part of that passing on process of receiving and giving. But will we drop the baton? Will we let it fall so that it doesn't get passed on? God's intention is that we receive from him today, that we draw near to him to be refreshed and renewed, to encounter Jesus Christ as we have in worship, as we do through his word, and then to take that out of here. Now, the great thing, as we were in our prayer time before, what really struck me was, you know, that illustration of the river that starts under the temple in Ezekiel. And it starts as a little, perhaps a little fountain just bubbling out between the cracks in the steps, and a little trickle of water comes out from the temple. Then as it goes on, it goes deeper and wider and deeper and wider and deeper and wider until it becomes a huge river that nobody can cross, full of fish, feeding all the land around so that it brings fertility and life to everything that it touches. That's what God does. So you come here today and you think, well, it was quite refreshing to be there today. There was a little spring, a fresh place that I could just drink in. And then God takes that and it grows in you. And you take it out into the world, to the various places that you're scattered out into the world this week. And through you, you pass it on. And when you pass it on, it's like the loaves and the fishes. It's multiplied. So that small thing, that encouragement that came to you today, that touch of the Spirit that came to you today, that forgiveness, that restoration that you've received, is passed on deeper and wider until it's impacting the whole area around because you encounter God here today. Isn't that exciting? Yes. Great, there are seven of us that are excited. Isn't that exciting? Yes. That's great, isn't it? Because it means that the small thing that we offer to God today can have a huge impact. And that, you know, coming together, drawing together to receive is important. Because that small thing that we receive is multiplied out during the week. So it's great to have you here. It's great that you're hearing and receiving from God, because that then can be passed on and can have a deeper impact into the world. So do you come eager to receive and to give? Do you come with an open hand ready to receive? And do you come with eyes to see where you can pass that on, both here and in the coming week? We can't do this alone. We need each other. We need every word, every scripture, every gift, every quiet and hidden gift to be expressed in order for it to be multiplied and to grow into this area. In John 13:16, we hear Jesus sending out the disciples to be messengers and servants of the gospel. Do you know, you too are sent out with this good news in its various forms. But will you drop the baton? Will you leave it here? Or will you take it with you out into the world? I believe God has given us blessings in here today. And I want you to pick up that baton and to take it with you. So what I want to ask you is this. How should we respond? Well, we should be passing on the apostles' teaching, the sound doctrine of the gospel, passing on the things we receive through the Holy Spirit, passing on making disciples. What have you received? Maybe just take a moment to think about that. What has God said to you today? What have you experienced of God today? Maybe even difficult to put that into words, but you have a sense of encountering God. Maybe there's something quite specific that God said to you today. That's great. It's great that you've received something. But guess what? How are you going to pass it on? So how will you pass on what you've received from God? How could you use your eyes to see who you could bless, who you could encourage, who you could strengthen through what you've received from God? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I praise and thank you for that wonderful picture of the fountain just bubbling out through the crack in the steps, Lord. That's what we encounter here today. We could walk over it and ignore it, or we can stoop and we can drink from that fountain. And so, Lord, we pray that as we've received from you today, that you will multiply and develop and deepen that understanding of you, that we may take it out into our workplaces, into our colleges, into our schools, into our homes. Lord, that you would through us bless the communities that we interact with in this week, that we may truly serve as you have served us. We ask it for your glory. Amen.